Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Afterlife Voicemail System. If you're trying to reach heaven, please press 1. For Yahweh, press 2. For Muhammad, press 3. If you're trying to reach Nirvana, you're going about it all wrong, so we certainly can't help you. If you'd just like to leave a message, wait for the beep.
Hello, welcome to the collective. This is Magenta. We are currently missing the guest and the co-host for some reason. So, this little episode might be cut short, and I do apologize, but have I heard a word from Ray? Oh, look, I guess he's called in. Let me get that going. but just for a second before we start the episode with Ray, just would kind of like to go over what's going to be going on the show, kind of look into. We're definitely having some new guests come on. We will have, and we're also going to have a lot of different co-hosts. I would like to have an array of different people come on and co-host with me. If you're interested, so this is, I'm giving a shout-out to anybody listening. If you're interested in the paranormal, you're an expert of some sort on any kind of subject dealing with the paranormal or the metaphysical, and you want to come on and just be my co-host, it's real simple. You just dial in the phone number and you connect. I'm definitely open to it. So you can always reach me at my Facebook, or I can give you an email, which is xmagentaashx@yahoo.com. You can hit me there and kind of give me some information about why you want to co-host with me. All right, let's see. I think this is Ray. So we're going to have Ray on tonight to kind of talk about vampires. Although we don't really see eye to eye with some of the subjects, I figured I'd let him to come on and kind of give his overview of vampirism. So mostly probably going to be him talking about his views. If anyone calls in, which our call-in number is 516-387-1909, definitely you can engage him, ask questions, things of that sort. So let me bring him on. Hello?
Hello, this is me, Fresha.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing fine, and I'm ready to get down to the business.
All right. Well, the platform is yours. You can, I guess, start talking about vampirism. What would you like to say about that?
Well, the first thing I would like to go over with vampirism is that not only am I a person that has the interest in the vampiric ordeal or whatnot, I am also an individual that likes to bring real-world consequences to the supernatural. So people whom are not understanding the vampirism can understand it a lot more. When we talk about vampires, I try not to use the term vampire, because that's the term you would use for a reanimated corpse used to feed it on the living or whatnot. However, I will be using the term the Muru. Basically, this is the term used for the living vampire. Basically, it is a vampire who is living, breathing, etc. They can be destroyed or removed by normal means. But I have my documents right in front of me, but I am trying to summarize as much of this information as I can and try not to go into too much detail, for this is only this show was not go on for too long. But the one aspect of the vampires is that I have found in my studies is that they have very advanced neural system. The injuries to the spinal cord and brain can be devastating from them and their bodies. They have powerful sense organs that give them an advantage in both hunting and vanishing. Basically, this allows them to understand their surroundings. And the thing about this is that the vampire, or I would like to say the Moru, have a strong advantage over nature when it comes down to hunting or what or not, or being the hunted, because they can sense things, they feel an energy, they feel negative energies, but they're more connected with the life force, they're more connected with the energies that are around them. However, I must stress dearly that the vampire is not only constricted with just the energies. The Moru vampire could feed in three ways: through blood circulation, also through mental energies, and through spiritual energies. Every Moru born through the segment of the human genome being passed down, that is how they were able to feed. And basically, the Moru, before the Moru even came into place, they look fairly different than your common average Moru that you see today. They have very distinguishing factors, and you could pick a Moru out from a human being fairly, fairly easily. But while few humans found interest in the Moru and saw beyond those types of factors, and constantly the Moru line has been going down through generations and generations through the bloodline, mixing with the DNA of humans. However, take note, I try to use as much real-life information because I am also going through a degree with biology. But I'm trying to use as much real-life information and not something that you can't really touch. This is as much real information that I can give you at the current moment. But basically what happens when you mix the humans and the Moru DNA, you start to get more and more Moru beings that look more and more like human beings. And one can say, well, the vampires don't exist. I talk to people that don't believe in Moru and people that do believe in Moru. I just don't stick with the people that do believe in them. It's good to branch out to people who don't believe in them so they can understand. Because they don't understand because they don't have tangible, something that they can see and they can touch, or real-life information. They only have, well, I could absorb the energy and all that.
Hello? Hello? Sherry, are you with me? Hello? Looks like we've lost everyone. I'm so sorry. That was weird. I apologize to Ray. He'll have to call back in. Looks like it dropped. Once again. Oh, here he is. Hello?
Okay.
Ray?
Thank you. Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah,
it dropped
you
on
that.
You. No problem. We have someone calling in who wants to perhaps ask you a question. I'm not sure.
Oh, sure.
Seeing.
I'm very open to the questions, no matter I'm wearing.
Hello, are you there? Would you like to ask a
yes,
question, or are you just listening in?
I'm just listening in at the moment.
Okay. No problem. Okay, Ray, you can continue.
All right, what happens is that when you have the genomes and they're mixing in and it's going down the generation to generations, you're going to see a decrease in the original phenotype that you would in the phenotype that you see today. Basically, a phenotype is a term you'll use with the physical representation rather than the genotypes, where you'll see in the actual genes representations of the Moru and whatnot. However, why, so you ask the question, well, why would Gimuru look more and more like human? Well, the main reason about that is that even the past human genus group didn't look too much like human. However, through time and many years and many years and many years, has come down to a place where humans look more like human more so than their primal order groups. So now, but you still ask, so why do Moru have so much in common with the human beings? Well, basically because they're basically the same homogenous. They're basically connected in the same homogenous group, basically. However, the Homo Saragnax and the Homo sapien are significantly different through genetic factors. So you say, so you get all the information, you're like, okay, this is starting to make sense. But what exactly makes the Moru vampire different from the human being? Well, basically, the Moru vampire, they have increased sensitivity. They are naturally stronger than the average human being. As if the primates, the groups are naturally stronger on average than the average human being. Not necessarily stronger than the human being, but on average. However, Moru haven't developed a complex mindset as humans did. Humans started to part away from their primal ways and their connection to nature and focus more on their intelligence. They're more intelligent. They're able to build sophisticated structures and solve more complicated problems. Wherever Moru sticked it more to more primal things, that is why Moru have sort of adventures over nature, while the humans have the advantage over the technology. They're still half and half. The Moru has very good senses. They know when the danger or they feel the danger coming in. However, the Moru of today, a strong prominent factor that you can distinguish between the Moru and the human being, another distinguishing factor, is not only in the DNA, but is also in their physical representation. Moru have been consistent over the years to, let's say, to become and look more and more like human, try to adapt to human societies. But not only that, they're still able to keep their ancestral faces. It's a process called transmogrification. So you're asking me, so now you're going to ask me this question. Oh, so these transmogrification. Well, how do you know this information or whatnot? So I'm going to give you some more information on the gat.
Okay.
All over the world, in Asia, in Europe, in the early Americas, even in the Africa, that there have been vampires around. There have been syndicate creatures that are resemblance of vampiric beings that feed on the dead. However, there's a lot of misconceptions when you're classifying the dead corpse, the Moru, and the other various diseases that could mimic the phenotype of the Moru, and not necessarily be the Moru themselves, but they still have the weak and vulnerable bodies, and they could be because of their sicknesses and what ails them or whatnot. But it's good information because you're like, well, let's just say if the Africa was making up all the vampiric stories, but then you see them in Europe and you see them in Asia too. So you're thinking, well, wait a minute, it's all over the world. So not all of these people can be making it up. Some of these people are seeing some of these. However, not all accounts are 100% available and accountable information. However, it is very, very interesting and intriguing information that all these people will know about these vampires. They all have similar characteristics. However, they may all seem a little bit different, but that's okay because the Moru came from a homogenous group. The Moru is of a homogenous group. However, like I, to also prove my arguments, I say there are actually other homogenous groups throughout nature that represent human biology. However, they haven't necessarily accustomed themselves to the human society. What is it about the shapeshifters, the human beings, the spirits or whatnot? It's really hard to distinguish what those kinds of factors are, but in the true meaning, all of it lies in the homogeneous DNA. All of them share human DNA. That is how they resemble human. You cannot combine by human. Even the monkey, not just any monkey, I would say perhaps the chimpanzee. Oh, no, Clay, you're trying to call it monkey. No, I'm not trying to call you monkeys. No. I am simply saying you cannot argue with the science. The chimpanzee shares a variable of 98% of the DNA of what you would share with the human. How is it that you can share 98% of DNA but not look like human? Because the phenotype has only little to do with the genotype. You see? So people say, I am the vampire, I absorb the energy, I take energy from people, or etc. I said, well, so you may know about that you may be the vampire, but do you know about the research in the background of the vampire? The vampire are not the superior species, because if they were the superior species, they would be alive, or pardon, the moru, they would be alive in vast numbers. So clearly, they are not a superior species. The homogenous Homo sapien has triumphed over all the homogenous groups that has ever existed. So they're clearly the more superior species. However, back to the statement, what I was about to say, I say to people, I said that energy manipulation is a common practice in even some Russian martial arts. For all that are listening onto the show, look up non-contact sparring. I am a studier of many aspects, not just the supernatural, but the martial arts. However, my own martial arts, the wolf style. And I know about the spiritual sides to these things, and it's called non-contact sparring, non-contact fighting. Basically, you look this up, it's basically people, they'll literally wave their hands over someone and literally suck the life out of the individual. This is a form of empiric practice. However, they are not necessarily vampires. However, they are practicing a type of vampire technique, which is also deliberately absorbing the energy from the individual or the life force from the individual to gain advantage over the individual. And this is not just the Russian martial arts. This has been practiced even in fighting arts in Africa. However, I cannot pull any fighting arts to begin with from the continent, not the country. I'm using it as an entire continent, Nazi country, because there's very multiple countries in the Africa continent. However, when you're coming, you know, you say energy manipulation is a vampiric thing. Energy manipulation is something that humans saw and they copied it, and they were able to do it pretty good from the Moru. Just like humans were able to look at the animals and copy their techniques and use them in their own style, mantis style, tiger style, monkey style, even the more rhythm. And you're going to ask, where did this originate from? They're probably going to give you a little backstory here and there from my master, but they're not going to tell you what it officially originated from. And that came from the Moru. The Moru were the first inhibitors of absorbing and manipulating energy. But it's not like the superpower, as I would say. It's more of the a way of life to keep up, basically. The Moros' diet has been cut. They figured out that they could gain energy in other ways or what's not. However, the human Homo sapien group, they were able to get paid very pretty easily. They're able to eat plants, all kinds of other foods, without really having a bad effect on their bodies on a long-term period. But, however, that's the generalization. One of these generalized aspects when you're talking about Moru and you're talking about where they come from and what do you expect when you see a Moru, you got to talk about the human being. Because if you don't talk about the human being, people will listen but still be confused and not really understandable on the aspect, because they're like, wow, this sounds just like the human being, which is clearly not. So you have to make the differentiation and try to not create as much confusion as possible. But there seems to be 8 minutes left, and I want others to talk as well if they have any questions, or 9 minutes.
Yeah, if anybody has any questions, they can call in. It's 516-387-1909 is our call-in number. What are some of the, I guess, characteristics that would separate, you know, if I was walking down the street, how would I know that they were
Moru,
as you call them? Yeah.
The Moru, the living the vampire, is a Romanian term basically to describe the living vampire. It is not fine as a better explanation. But when you're walking down the street and you want to know what's the difference from the Moru and the human being, the greatest distinction I would be is a very observant attitude and a very passive, very, very passive attitude. Moru usually get involved with human civilization when they want something from them, or if they want to take something from the human beings, or if they're trying to get a custom, which is very, very rare, because their mindsets go strictly against the mindsets of human beings. They don't like the way the human beings think, they don't like the way of their customs or whatnot. So they only go in, usually when they're around human beings, to take something or to be as a custom. But if one was to ever encounter a Moru, they'll have a very observant, as in you could imagine very much staring a lot, or just moving in odd, fashionable patterns, because they're trying to link their frequency with basically with yours. So when they link the frequency with yours, they know the kind of person that you are. So they'll know better to look at you or to walk away. Moru are very, very mysterious. They will disappear, not literally, but they will move from the eyesight of people when you get a good glance of them, or they're trying and not to talk. But that is what you will really be somewhat expected from them, very passive attitude. You'll talk to them, but then the thing is that you'll never see them again until like a little bit, a while or later or whatnot. But I believe the interesting factors, another interesting factor you'll probably see is probably in the skin or the jaw area, usually an extended jaw. Moru actually have a very prehensive biting force. They're able to bite through weak metals. They're able to cut through flesh really easily. They may have an extended jawline. That would also be another depictive factor. And they also, and some, it's very heritable these things in the Moru, where some have inherited have a gene passed down to them where they may have certain intolerance for the sunlight. However, these aren't all the Moru, because there's many types of Moru. But some of them, but usually they kind of stray from the sunlight or whatnot. You're usually more active at night. Basically, because it's a lot easier to hunt at night. It's not usually because of the sun. You can always, they can always pull in the hood or something out when it's sunny out or put out an umbrella. But they usually come out at night because it's more free, and also because as a ancestral factor, humans were a lot easier to be preyed upon at night. One, humans can't really see well in the dark. They can't really move that well in the dark because they don't know where they're really going. They can't really sense their surroundings around them. So that makes it easy to prey for the Moru. Moru will go out at night, and it'd be a lot easier for them. Usually for the prey factor, not necessarily for the daylight factor. When you're in the daylight, people know where they're going, they know where they're at. They can get more people. They can get more people to come and kill you. So those are the
things you got to go on. We only got a couple more minutes, but do they live in a hierarchy? Do they live?
They're very, 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 I would say they're very, very separate as a species. I would say I don't honestly have the information of a gathering of the Moru. However, I do know that the Moru are very separate as a species because they've died in number. So you're going to ask, how's a species that great die in number? Well, one, there's a new science out called DNA. And with the DNA, if you have a Moru that kills someone, you can have that DNA, you can use that DNA, and you can track them. And they track them, and they either get killed while they're trying to get apprehended, they get put in jail, just like any normal human being would. You know, you can't get away. You can't, just like in the olden days, people say, as a vampire, I've been hunting for years. Yeah, you've been hunting for years, maybe, but getting away with murder is not no easy task. However, Moru have managed to move to more rural areas where there's not much forensic science or there's not much technology where there is able to track down Moru, basically. However, Moru have DNA, too. You can track them down just as easily as you can track down Homo sapiens. It's not much different.
That's definitely an interesting take. I haven't really, you know, heard about
exactly.
Those. But very, very interesting. I have to wrap it up, unfortunately, because I've got about 30 seconds left on the show. Thank you, Ray, for giving us this information. And you'll definitely have to call back in. Perhaps we can get some people on discussing a little more detail about it. But thanks for calling
yes,
in.
Most
and
definitely.
We appreciate the information.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, this is about time for us to wrap up the show. Sorry that my co-host did not show up. Today it would have been a lot more interesting. I know she had some questions for Ray, but once again, definitely an interesting take on vampirism. You know, always interested to hear different information that people have. Can you scientifically prove it? That's up to debate. So. Definitely tune in next week. Not sure what's going on. I have a couple fillers out for some very interesting shows coming up. So, once again, this is Ashley, and thank you for listening in to The Collective.